If you would, please take a copy of God's Word and open it up to the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. How many of you would agree that in today's fast-paced world, it's easy for us to become overwhelmed? When you think about it, things are happening so quickly and rapidly. I mean, we're being bombarded from every direction. Information. You know, information is coming out so quickly that we don't even have time to process it. That's how quick it is. You know, with social media and email and text messages and, I mean, just every, we're just being bombarded from every direction. Not only that, the news. You know, I remember a time when there was only three news outlets, ABC, NBC, and CBS. And now there are so many distribution of news. I mean, you just get bombarded by news. And it's kind of hard to, you know, is this true? Is this fake? You know, what's real? And it's easy for us to get overwhelmed. Our job can overwhelm us. I mean, the stress and the pressure to perform. Again, the deadlines, just the obligation, the responsibility, the weight. It's a lot. The work you have to do, and you know, maybe your job is so demanding that it seems like you just never ever get ahead. Like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. And so your job, your career can overwhelm you. Your family can overwhelm you. The responsibilities you have at home, you know, making sure that the house is picked up and the floors are vacuumed and the dishes are done and the clothes are washed and things that need to be fixed are fixed and the yard needs to be mowed. And it never, never ends. Take care of the kids, and it's overwhelming. The Bible talks a lot about people who are overwhelmed by regret or shame or guilt. In fact, you know, you can be overwhelmed by any emotion. You could be overwhelmed by worry or insecurity or loneliness or anger or bitterness or resentment. The question is, what do we do when we're overwhelmed? How should we respond in that time of distress, in that time where just the weight is so heavy? Well, that's what I want to talk to us about this morning. I want us to look at an individual in the Old Testament by the name of King Jehoshaphat. How many of you ever heard of King Jehoshaphat? Man, he's a great, you know, for the most part, he was a great king. He was a king of Judah, king of God's people. And for the most part, he was a good king. He became king when he was at the age of 35, and he reigned for 25 years. The Bible tells us that he sought the God of his father and that he walked in the commandments of God. And so he was a godly king. Now, he wasn't perfect, all right? He had his flaws. He wasn't perfect, but for the most part, he was a good king. He was a godly man. Not only that, he was a godly leader. The Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 4, that Jehoshaphat lived in Jerusalem, and he went out again among the people from Beersheba to the hill country of Ephraim, and he turned them back to the Lord, the God of their ancestors. Now, if you were to read the rest of chapter 19, you would see how King Jehoshaphat, a godly king, a godly man, a godly leader, he turns God's people back to God. They're experiencing a spiritual renewal, a spiritual revival. He is just cleaning house. He's cleaning up the nation. He's getting rid of all the idols and all the false gods and all the false altars. And he is just cleaning house. Now, you would think from here on out, for God's people, that everything would be great. It'd just be a wonderful time of just enjoying the presence of God and enjoying the provisions of God, and that there's just nothing, absolutely nothing, to be worried about, to be distressed over. Well, you come to chapter 20, and that's where I want us to pick up this morning. Verse 1, the Bible tells us that after this, the Moabites and the Ammonites and some of the Meunites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It's already in Hazazon Tamar, that is En Gedi." Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. He proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard. And then starting at verse 6 and going down to verse 12, we have his prayer. He prays to God. And it's just an incredible time for God's people. It's an incredible prayer that he prays. And then he concludes his prayer in verse 12. Go down to verse 12. He says, "O God, or our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Now, I don't know if you can sense what's going on in this passage of Scripture. You know, here's Jehoshaphat. He's trying to be a godly person. He's trying to be a godly king. He's trying to be a godly leader. He's trying to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. And then you come to verse 1 and it says, it happened after this. In other words, referring to chapter 19, this spiritual renewal, this spiritual revival, this spiritual mountaintop. And now you have this opposition. You have his enemies that have circled around him and they're getting ready to attack him. You have chapter 19 is this spiritual mountain, and now you have this valley. You have this high point in his life, a high point in the life of God's people, and now you have this low point. And he's under attack. Now here's my first observation. You want to write this down. The more you live for God, the more your enemy will threaten you. The closer you try to come to God, the more you try to live for him, the more you just sell out to God, the more your enemy will threaten you and attack you. You see, spiritual warfare is real. We have a real enemy. And when you become child of God and you just start to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, man, he starts to mess with you. He starts to mess things up in your life. And so here's what we see. We see this spiritual mountaintop, and now we see this valley. We see this low point, something that happens in their life that unexpected. The Bible tells us that we're constantly being attacked by the devil. Paul tells us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers and principalities. Darkness of this world, that's what we wrestle against. That we have a real enemy. He knows he can't do anything to God. He knows he is not victorious. But what he wants to do is he wants to steal and he wants to rob and he wants to kill your faith. He wants to steal your joy. And so when we start to understand that, that we have a real enemy. And so what are we to do? What are we to do when we feel this pressure, this sense of, you know what, we're just overwhelmed? Well, first thing, faith fact number one, very straightforward, is this. We need to ask God to help us. Whenever you start to feel the enemy closing in, whenever you start to feel overwhelmed as a child of God, stop what you're doing and ask God to help you. Notice the first thing that Jehoshaphat does when he's overwhelmed is that he turns to God. Now I know that for us as Christians, you know, this is like a no-brainer. It's like, duh. I know, you know, when I'm in that situation, I know I'm the turn to God and I'm the ask God for help. But here's the truth. Many times we don't. Many times we allow pride to get in the way and we have this attitude, you know what, I can handle this. I got this. I can figure it out. I can solve the problem. And God says, no. Stop. Stop. Quit trying to figure the solution out on your own. So the first thing we should do when we're overwhelmed is to turn to God for help. Listen, you're not going to burden God by coming to Him and asking Him to help. You're not going to burden Him and you're not going to anger Him. God will never say, I can't believe you're coming to me. Do you know I'm busy? Look, this is my agenda. I've got a lot of stuff to do, and man, what's going on over in the Middle East is it takes precedence over your little problem. No, God will never, ever, ever say that. He will never scorn you for coming. He will never be angry because you came to Him. He invites us to come to Him. Have you ever heard somebody say, you know, God will never give you more than you can handle? You know, that's not biblical. You'll not find one place in the Bible where God says that. That's one of these phrases that we've taken. We've said that's a biblical phrase. It's not biblical. In fact, God doesn't want you to handle anything. He wants you to hand over everything. There's a difference. God doesn't want you to handle it. He can handle it. He's God and we're not. And so He wants us to depend on Him. And so whenever you're being overwhelmed, whatever you're facing, God is able to help. Whatever it is, big, small, medium-sized, whatever it is. You see, prayer should not be our last choice. It should be our first. Should not be our last option. We should not say, well, you know, we've tried everything else. I guess we should pray. No. Prayer should be the first thing we do. That's why I said, you know, first thing, when you feel like you're overwhelmed, when you feel like the enemy's, you know, encircling you and getting closer to you, and you just feel suffocated, you feel pressured, you feel distressed, you feel distraught, whatever it is, just stop and ask God to help you. You see, prayer is you simply talking to God, saying, God, I'm overwhelmed. Let me tell God, I just, man, the pressure, the stress, the anxiety, and the enemy's just getting closer, and I just feel so helpless, God. That's okay. It's okay to come to God. Notice what Jehoshaphat does, verse 3. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. In other words, he sought God's guidance. This is the first thing. He gets news. The enemies are circling. The enemies are getting closer. The enemies are getting ready to attack. And you know the first thing he does is he seeks God's help. He doesn't turn to his counselors and says, so what do you think we should do? What's our strategy? What kind of military plan do we have in place? He doesn't seek his counselors. He doesn't seek his closest friends. He doesn't seek his family. He doesn't seek anybody immediately. Immediately, he seeks the Lord's guidance. And he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Listen, there is no problem that's too big or too small for God. And I would say this, if the problem is big enough for you to worry about, it's big enough for you to pray about. If it's busy, if it's big enough for you to be concerned about, it's big enough for God to be concerned about. And so give it to him. Ask God for help. Faith fact number two is that we need to focus on God, not the problem. We need to focus on God, not the problem. Whenever we feel overwhelmed, stressed out, anxious, worried, whatever that emotion is that's just overtaking us, we need to focus on God and not the problem. You see, the more you focus on whatever it is that's overwhelming, the bigger that becomes. It doesn't become smaller. Whatever it is, whatever you're focused on, that our mind has a way of enlarging that and exaggerating that to where that becomes the main thought you're thinking all the time, is just whatever that is that's stressing you out. If it's your family, your job, your health, whatever it is, a relationship, whatever it is, man, you start to think about that and think about that, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger in your mind, and it begins to control your thoughts, which then begins to have an effect on your body. And so it doesn't become smaller, it gets bigger. And the bigger it gets, the more anxiety it creates. The more anxiety that it creates, the more suffocated you feel. And the more suffocated you feel, the more helpless and hopeless you feel. And you know what happens? Instead of you trusting God, you begin to doubt God. All because you're focused on the problem and not God. Your eyes are focused on the wrong thing instead of the right thing. Instead of allowing God to take up space in your mind and in your heart, you're allowing that problem or that situation to take that place that should only be reserved for God. And so what you focus on becomes bigger. So how do we get through the valley? How do we get through this low point in our life, this valley of despair, this valley, you know, whatever it is that's overwhelming? If you remember what David said in Psalms 23, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then he goes on and he says, "Though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." In other words, what David was saying is, look, I'm not focused on my situation. I'm focused on my shepherd. I can get through the valley because I'm not focused on the valley. I'm focused on the presence of the shepherd. For you are with me. You're leading me, God. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They protect me. And so David would acknowledge, and David would say, yeah, focus on God. Not just David. Let me give you another example. Daniel in the lion's den. Remember that story? You know how Daniel could manage and make it in the lion's den? It's because he wasn't focused on the lions. He was focused on God. I believe that the lions would have consumed him had he been focused on the lions. Had he been focused on his position, had he been focused on his situation, he would have been consumed. But he was focused on God. I love this quote from Corrie Ten Boom. If you're familiar with who she is, God used her in a great and mighty way. Look at her quote here. Here we go. She says, "If you look at the world, you'll be distressed." Isn't that true? And if you start to look at everything that's going on in the world and how sad and depressing it is and how negative it is and just the hate and violence and wickedness, man, if you're looking at the world, you're going to be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at God, you'll be at rest. You see, she got it. Don't focus on the situation. Don't focus on the problem. Focus on God. That's what Jehoshaphat was. He was focused on God. Verse 12, Jehoshaphat says, look, we don't know what to do. In his prayer, he prays to God. He's just spilling his gut. He's just being honest. He's being open. You know, as a leader, for him to admit his inability, he says, God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes, we're focused on you. We're focused on you, God. Look at his prayer starting in verse 6. This is his prayer. He said, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? It's a rhetorical question. He says, you rule over the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. In other words, what he's praying right here, he's saying, God, you are so big. You're so mighty. You're sovereign. You're in control. There's nothing that can stand against you. There's nothing that is more powerful than you. There's nothing that's bigger than you. His focus, man, he's focused on God. And the more he's focused on God, the bigger God is getting. Go down to verse 7. He says, our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it, have built it in a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. In other words, what Jehoshaphat is praying is, man, he is focused on the faithfulness of God. God, you've been so faithful to us in the past. You've never let us down in the past. You've never failed us in the past. You've always been so faithful. God, you're so mighty, so sovereign. Man, what an incredible prayer. And so let me encourage you this morning, if you're overwhelmed, don't focus on the problem. Don't focus in on whatever it is, if it's your job, it's your family, if you're lonely, whatever emotion, worried, whatever it is, don't focus on that. Focus on God. Faith fact number 3 is we need to admit our limitations. Man, we just need to be honest. Turn to God, ask God to help us, focus on Him, not our problem. But man, we need to come to a place where we are just transparent before the Lord. Now, many times when we're overwhelmed, or we choose to be overwhelmed, it's because we allow pride to get in the way. And we say, you know what, I've got this, I can handle this. Instead of confessing our inabilities, instead of confessing our limitations, we think we've got this. Well, we need to admit that we're powerless. Look at verse 12. Jehoshaphat says, our God, will you not judge them? Here it is. For we have no power to face this vast army that's attacking us. It's okay. It's okay to tell God exactly what you're feeling. I think sometimes when we're praying, we think that we have to be this hyper spiritual person where we have to make sure that we say everything just right. I mean, we have this awareness that we're talking to God, and that's a good thing. We're talking to the creator of the universe. We're talking to God who is all-powerful and all-knowing and ever-present and eternal. We know that. But what happens is there within us, we tend to be fake before Him instead of authentic and genuine. And to realize that as a child of God, because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we come to Him now as a son comes to his father. This relationship that we have, and just spill your guts before the Lord. Be honest and say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this. I don't know. It's okay. You see, pride says, don't do that. Don't admit you have a weakness. Don't admit that you don't have it all together. Don't admit it. The reality is, God says, you come, man, just come just as you are. Just come before me. Just share your heart. God already knows it. He already knows what's going on within us. I think many times we put up a facade. We wear this mask before God is because we just want to appear holy and we just want to appear, super spiritual before the Lord. And God says, no, I just want you to be real. Just share what's on your heart. Now, I want you to notice God's response. Because here's this prayer. Jehoshaphat turns to God. He asks God for help. He's focused on who God is. He admits his inability. And I want you to notice how God responds. Verse 14, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehoshaphat, and his name in the Hebrew means God sees. So God comes, his Spirit comes upon this person who he's a priest, he's a Levite, and God uses him to speak to Jehoshaphat and the rest of the people there. Verse 15, he said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the vast army. Why? For the battle is not yours, but God's." You see, God sees what you're going through. Don't think for a second that God is not concerned or he's disconnected or that he doesn't see what you're going through. He sees. He sees what you're going through. He sees your enemy circling around you, getting closer, getting ready to attack you. He sees all of that. He's aware. He's aware of the thing that is overwhelming. Now, here's what I want us to get this morning, okay? And I want you to write this down, okay? Go to the next slide because this is important, all right? It's God's battle, not yours. In fact, here's what I want you to do, all right? If you have a cell phone, a smartphone, I want you to take your phone out right now, and I want you to take a picture of that, all right? I'm going to get out of the way, and I want you to take a picture of that because you need to remember this. It's God's battle, not yours. It's God's battle, not yours. Now, I want to share this as a word of encouragement. You're tired, you're stressed out, and you're overwhelmed because you're fighting a battle that's not yours to fight. You're stressed out because you're fighting a battle that's not yours. God says, Did I ask you to fight these enemies? No. It's not your battle. It's his. Verse 17. God continues to respond. He says, "You will not have to fight this battle." He does say, take up your positions. In other words, God doesn't say, okay, it's not your battle. Check out. Go home. Go back to bed. No, he says, take up your positions. There's an element of faith here. He says, take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid nor be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. And so God says, listen, you know, face it, face the opposition, take position, stand firm. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. It's God's battle. It's not your battle. And notice what they do. Notice how they respond to what God has just told them. Verse 18. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. That was their response. And I would propose to us this morning, you have a choice. You can worry, or you can worship. You can panic, or you can pray. They responded to this news that, you know what? God says, I've got this. It's my battle, not yours. I can handle this. All you need to do is just stand firm and watch me do my thing. And they fell down before the Lord and began to worship Him. That's a declaration of faith right there, because they didn't continue to worry about it. They didn't question God. You know, because honestly, I would say, well, how are you going to do this, God? What's your plan? You know, you tell me so I can sleep better at night. You know, I need to know. How are you going to handle this, God? No, they did not question God. They did not interrogate God. They did not go on further with this. You know, God said it. God spoke it. That was settled. They just responded to God by worshiping Him. And so the battle is God's. It belongs to Him. It's not yours. Faith fact number 4. Give God thanks in advance. And I know that's hard, because when we're overwhelmed by something, there's something going on in our life, it's hard for us to pause and worship God. It's hard for us to praise Him in that moment. It's hard for us to thank God. But man, that's faith. You see, when you thank God after He answers your prayer, that's called gratitude. But when you thank Him before He answers, that's called faith. Because you're trusting God. You're just, God, I'm depending upon You. My reliance is upon You. God, You're the answer to my prayer. I thank You. That's faith. Notice their faith. Verse 21. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever." That was their response. They haven't even won the victory yet. They haven't seen anything. They haven't seen God move. There's nothing yet. This is just in response. They start to praise God. They start to worship Him. And they start to give God thanks, for His love endures forever. That's faith. Don't miss the next part, verse 22. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and the Moabites rose up against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. That's incredible. Do you see what's going on? You see, as God's people, we're worshiping God, and they're praising God, and they're thanking God, and they're focused on God. Their enemies were so confused that they started to kill each other. That's incredible. Think about this, an incredible weapon that we have to fight spiritual warfare is worship. When we start to worship God, man, our enemies get confused because they're not expecting that. They're expecting us to fight. They're expecting us to stoop down to their level, to do what they're doing. But when we start to worship at God, they start to get confused, baffled. It's an unusual battle strategy. In fact, if you study the Old Testament, and whether it's here with Jehoshaphat or Gideon, oftentimes God uses unusual strategies to do unusual things because He's God. And it's to declare His glory, His greatness, His power. This was God's battle. They're just focused, they're worshiping God. They're not focused on their situation. They're just worshiping Him. And so let me encourage you, thank God in advance. You know, I was thinking of a New Testament example of this. Remember Paul and Silas? They were thrown in prison because of their faith. There they are in prison. The Bible tells us in the midnight hour, there they are just praising the Lord and praying and singing. And God showed up. God caused an earthquake. God freed them. God delivered them. And I got to thinking, man, there's a connection here. There's a connection that as we're worshiping God, chains begin to break. As we're focused on who God is, fears are relieved. As we're focused on who God is, we're worshiping Him. And God begins to move in a mighty way. So give Him thanks in advance. Truth of the matter is, it's not over until God says it's over. If you were to continue to read the rest of the chapter, you'll see how God rewards faithfulness. For the sake of time, I don't want to dig into it really deeply. There's a lot I could say, but for the sake of time, here's the last point. Trust God to bring good out of bad. You see, God rewards their faithfulness because here they are. They're just focused on God. They're worshiping God. It's God's battle. They're worshiping God. God sets ambushes out against the enemies. The enemies take care of themselves. They kill themselves. And the Bible tells us that they went down to the valley, this battle, this valley, this low point, and God just rewarded them for their faithfulness. And I got to thinking, you know, they actually changed the name of this valley to the Valley of Blessing. And I got to thinking, wow, sometimes you have to go through the battle to get to the blessing. Sometimes you have to go through this low point in our life, this bad, to see the good, to see what God is doing, to see the greatness of God, the goodness of God. And so if you're feeling overwhelmed, you realize God can take something bad and make it good. God can take something that is meant to hurt you and harm you and turn it around to edify you, to strengthen you, to bring you closer to Himself. And so trust God. Trust God to bring blessing out of the brokenness. Trust Him. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I don't know what you're dealing with. Only you and the Lord knows. And I don't know what's overwhelming you. And maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, hey, there's nothing going on in my life right now. Everything is just, you know, it's fine. There's nothing really to be worried about. Sooner or later, you might be on the mountaintop right now, but sooner or later, you're going to find yourself in the valley. And I want you to remember this. I want you to remember, how should we respond whenever we're feeling overwhelmed? to ask God to help you, to focus on Him and not the problem, to admit your limitations, and to thank Him, and allow Him to work to bring good out of that situation. And maybe you're here this morning and you just need to spill your guts before the Lord. So in a second, we're just going to have a time for you to just reflect, for you to pray. So we sing. If you'd like to use the stairs of this altar to just come and just lay it down before the Lord, or right there. You know, it's not about a show. We're not asking you to put on a show before the Lord. But we are asking you to just be honest and be open and genuine before the Lord this morning. And whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're facing right now in your life, just ask God to help you. Just confess that. Say, God, and I'm just dealing with a really difficult thing in my life right now. I don't know what to do. I'm at the end of my rope. I feel suffocated. I have nowhere to turn but to You, Lord, and my eyes are on You right now. Lord, help me. Help me. Thank You. Thank You for Your promises. Thank You that all things work together for my good. That You're going to use this. So I just want to worship You. I just want to just release it to You and just worship You. Let's praise the Lord this morning. Let's stand.
Just as well.
moved in my spirit to do this. If you're here this morning, you're just overwhelmed by something, we want to pray for you. That God's house should be a house of prayer. And if that's you this morning, we don't need to know what it is. That's between you and the Lord. But we do want to pray for you. And so I'm going to ask you to step out by faith. Would you just come forward right now? We're going to gather around you. But if you're just overwhelmed by something, some emotion, a problem, a struggle, just step out by faith. I just want to pray for you. Not your battle. You're tired. I want to encourage you to just rest in the Lord. Find solace in Him. The rest of us, if we can just gather around. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the victory that we have in Christ. Thank you that you are a present help for us in our time of trouble. Lord, we come to you. I pray for those that are struggling and overwhelmed by life. Lord, we acknowledge the enemy's real, but we don't want to focus on him. He's a liar. He's defeated. We want to focus on you, the victory we have. We know how it all ends. But Lord, we pray for now. We pray for the present. We pray for this moment. Lord, that you would help us. I pray you'd help those that are struggling. Lord, help them to know that it's not their battle. It's your battle. I pray, Lord, that they would stand firm, that they'd stand still. Give them eyes to see the victory. To praise you in the midst of the storm. To worship you and to thank you. We lift them up. Pray for encouragement. We pray, Lord, that as we have surrounded them, we pray that, Lord, that they would sense your presence and your spirit surrounding them and holding them so near and dear. Lord, we know that no weapon formed against us can prosper. And so we worship you. We worship you in the storm. We worship you, for you are worthy. Thank you. Father, I pray, Lord, that they would just have a spirit of release. Just give it over to you, Lord. Lord, we know that you're going to work your glory and your goodness through their situation. And we praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.